You don't like me, fight me. You know I keep it jumping like a Nike. Hypey, think I'm bluffing, highly unlikely. Sitcom like a TV show for the 90s. Steve Urkel better scram like Vamoose. Whack half your back when I snap like Thanos. Sith Lord better go and get your best bars. War the Empire blowing up like the Death Star. Power up for you, play your car. Or get caught lacking like a Pokemon. This game ain't made for clones. Lord of the Rings versus Game of Thrones. It can't stop me, stop it. Jon Snow, King of the North, I'm knocking out hobbits. But anybody else who out of pocket, they don't really wanna see these problems, so drop it. Fight me. 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 That's my opinion. You don't like it, then fight me.
All right, hey nerds, welcome to the next episode of Fight Me Friday. This is Fight Me Friday number 3. And today we are joined by the host of Take a Knee for Marvel DC, as he's got Avengers Endgame as his top movie in one of his latest podcasts.
Yeah, we thought, considering my views on Endgame, that it would be a great time to bring in a fellow podcasting friend to have a nice friendly debate on the suck side of Endgame.
So first, Scott, I was going to say, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm regular Scott. I represent Take a Knee from Marvel versus DC. We put out a podcast every Sunday from the Defy Life Network. And, you know, we like to talk all things nerd, you know, anything Marvel, DC, and everything in between. So, yeah, we put out our top 10 MCU list, and looks like we have a few differing opinions.
Still remember your top 10? Did you pull that off your head, or was it a list that you kind of made?
I do have my list right here in front of me.
All right, why don't you go over your list, and I'll go over mine, and we can definitely see our difference in opinions of Marvel before we get into the Endgame specifics.
Okay, I'm gonna start from the bottom and work my way up. So number 10, I got Infinity War. Number 9, Civil War. Number 8, Thor Ragnarok. Number 7, Avengers. Number 6, the latest Marvel entry, Far From Home. Number 5, Black Panther. Number 4, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 3, the first Iron Man. Number 2, Winter Soldier. And number 1, where the controversy comes in, Avengers Endgame.
All right, so my top 10, to start, I put Far From Home at 10. It was a pretty good movie, so I think it does deserve to make the list. 9, I have the first Avengers, just because of the scale. 8, I have Ant-Man. 7, I have Ragnarok. 6, I have Black Panther. 5, I have the first Guardians. 4, I have the first Iron Man. 3, I have Civil War. And really, for me, 2 and 1 are interchangeable. I put Winter Soldier at 2 and Infinity War at 1, but it's whenever it comes on cable, it's a toss-up. I'm watching Winter Soldier, it's the best movie. Then if I'm watching Infinity War, it's the best movie. Like, I can flip a coin for those two. So, yeah, we definitely have a different scale. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I notice is, you know, Winter Soldier, I think that's one movie that everyone kind of agrees is in that.
I think
top
it's in
tier.
Everyone's top three. Yeah, it's. I think it's in everybody's top three. That movie was just so well done. That they hit it out of the park with that one.
Yeah, the lower scale. It's not, you know, trying to save the universe. It's more so just trying to save a friend. And I think that intimacy of the movie really helps.
It was a really good character movie. It was a really good action movie. The flow of the movie was perfect. You know, it had its you know, character development moments. It had its action moments, and they all just seamlessly flowed into each other. I think it really brought up the Black Widow character, made her very relatable, and you know, solidified her as, in my opinion, the strong woman role of the MCU. Yeah, it's to me, it's just one of the a perfect Marvel movie.
Yeah, for me, I actually yesterday was sitting down with a buddy of mine. We grabbed some beers and we were talking over movies, and we got a bunch of post-it notes and we kind of tiered out the movies. Didn't necessarily go full top 10, but we considered like there are movies that are clearly top tier. And we had Winter Soldier, Civil War, Avengers, Guardians 1, Infinity War, all is at that top tier. That's our top five. And then you've got the Iron Man, Captain America, Iron Man 1, Captain America 1, some of the other ones that are in the middle of the pack. Endgame didn't make even middle of the pack for us as far as where we placed it for just being a purely, you know, good story in itself. So ready to get started on some talk here. But I guess, I mean, we can go time for time here and go through the movie and moderate through the movie on what we did or did not like. And I guess you can just fight or we can just,
well, I figure I can just put out a couple points of what I feel the movie really failed in. And if you want to defend it, you can defend it. We might agree on some of the things. And then you can go over kind of what you loved. And I think we'll kind of agree on a few things that you loved, and I might, you know, differ on some. Because overall, I don't think it was a horrible movie, but in no way would I call it a good movie. It was meh. You know, it was.
See,
you know,
and this is where Steve and I are different. I still think it was a good movie. It was highly entertaining. But I think it's a good movie.
When a movie is 3 hours, if they give you an hour of entertainment, a lot of people call it a win. But that's only one third of the fucking movie.
It's a good movie. It's entertaining. It has some spectacular scenes, and the production value is top notch.
Absolutely.
It's just a bad story. It's a bad story. It's a poorly told story with garbage writing.
See, here's where Endgame kind of goes a little above everyone else. A few weeks ago on our show, we played One's Gotta Go, probably about a month ago now, with all the Avengers movies. And one of the movies that I said could go was Infinity War, because I thought about, what if I watched Avengers Endgame and there was no Infinity War? So you jump in the Endgame and it's already 5 years in the future and you see all the massacre that's happened. And now you're trying to figure out what happened. And then they start filling you in on the snap. I think you come into that movie without seeing Infinity War. I think that movie on its own just becomes more almost like a Marvel horror movie, because you're like, what exactly happened? And the amount of buildup that went into Endgame. I don't think a movie besides maybe Star Wars.
Yeah, Force Awakens is the only thing that really compares to the anticipation.
Yeah, and I think with that much buildup, I think it knocked it out the park, man. Like that last hour, which is what you said, which is the last hour, is pretty much all action. Bam, 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 everything is just a go. I think that
even that last hour wasn't all wins. You know,
and I like that. See, I like when you have to really struggle, like when characters are struggling. Like one of my big problems with Captain Marvel is once she figured out what was going on, she was unstoppable. Even in this, she got taken out a little bit. You know, the three Trinities, they weren't enough. Now, I did say I'm not a fan of how Thanos all of a sudden is strong enough to take everyone out without the gauntlet. When he had a problem with the gauntlet.
With the gauntlet, he couldn't hold up. But somehow in this movie, without any stones, dude is unstoppable. Just wrecking through everybody.
And that's another thing is they fuck with the power level. So like you said, Captain Marvel is able to fly through a fucking spaceship that is strong enough to withstand hyperspace and shit like that. And then walk up to Thanos, take a jaw shot without even moving her head. But then in the same scene, get knocked around like a rag doll. It's like, what is it? It's one or the other. It's not both. It can't be both.
Yeah, the power scaling is a good
point. She can take a punch for Thanos, but then she can't fly across the battlefield to get to the van, right? Without tripping and failing. It's
And while we're on Captain Marvel, you know, I could have done without the whole, if it wasn't bad enough that there's this whole patriarch debate about the first movie, they come in Infinity War and she lands, you know, in the first scene and then leaves and then comes back with the "I'd like to speak to your manager" haircut. And just totally solidifies what they're trying to push with this fucking character as far as, you know, her representation for women and whatnot. Like, I almost threw up in my mouth. Like, I swear to God.
Yeah.
I will say that when Peter Parker's like cowering away in the corner and then all of a sudden, you know, all the angry moms coming to tell on their, you know, get their kids scooter back. Yeah, that was a bit much. I mean, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. It was cool at the time, but yeah, that was.
It wasn't cool. Though. It wasn't.
They come to help Peter Parker, cool. And then all 17, you know, or so,
yeah,
Marvel women, like, just happen to be in the same place and line up for this epic fucking pose.
That's the same. It wasn't. Come on, it wasn't, man. Cool at all. I say every time I want an A-Force movie. I want the all female cast A-Force team up movie. But don't make it
generic.
We have to turn off our brains so much to get to such disbelief on the what actually makes sense in order to think that all of them are just there at the same time to have that girl power moment. It was just such garbage writing and directing. It's hard to get past. But I think let's create some structure to this thing here.
that we're doing.
All right.
Let's go back. Friday went really off the rails.
let's go back. All right, let's treat Endgame really for what it was, and it was an incredibly long movie with three distinct acts. And if we break it down that way, let's see if it holds up to the test. That it was a good movie throughout. All right, so let's go back to Act One, and let's talk our way through the beginning of the movie and how it comes back. You know,
so
this isn't one must go. You know, we do know what happened with Infinity War.
They find Thanos, they chop off his head, and now you're left in this position of, well, what the fuck? Who are we going to fight now? Who are we going to do this? Which I think...
I think the pacing was terribly
exactly.
slow.
Exactly. So they wanted to keep like the suspense of what's going to happen. So everybody went into the movie thinking, okay, they're just going to fight Thanos again for another 3 hours. And then they chop off his head in the first half hour. So now the audience is going, oh shit. And it's this big, like, kind of suspenseful moment for everybody. I thought it was going to be this thing, and now it's totally not going to be this thing. But I understand why they did it, but it didn't work for the rest of the movie. They kind of backed themselves into a corner by doing that in the first act, and the rest of the movie,
it's one of the few things I liked about the first act. So I don't know what you thoughts are as far as that part,
but I don't think it worked well.
And see, I was one that did enjoy that, because, you know, it had the surprise factor, and that's kind of where, you know, I was saying, if you didn't see Infinity War and you went into this and, you know, you found out that he snapped away everyone and they needed to, you know, get the gauntlet and figure out what to do, and then they kill him, you're kind of like, okay, like y'all both said, now what? And I think that was a great start. And then you guys are talking me out of this being my number one movie. And then, you know,
that's my mission in life right now.
Yeah, I think it's working. I see where the problem comes in, because the movie, you know, to me, that's a great start. Like, you kind of got the, what in the world is going on? What's coming next? And then you're almost at like a stoplight, you know, and you're stuck in traffic for a minute, you know, and it's like, when are we going to get moving again? You know, you start moving a little bit.
And that's my problem with it, it was a good idea but they kind of backed themselves in a corner, and getting out of that corner, they used a bunch of fail. So then after that, because of that scene, you get smart Buddhist Hulk and fat Thor.
Buddhist Hulk.
Which, fuck your face, bro. Like, no, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, I'm not down. I'm not down.
And even leading up to that, I wasn't a fan of how Iron Man gets rescued, right? Tony Stark gets rescued, not by his own wit, not in any way contributing. He's... you know, he we've got this moment of him recording his last communication to Pepper, which we all know he's not dying there, right?
Right.
So we're literally watching it and having this sweet moment that we know is not the end. Like, there's no stakes to it. Why do we care at this point in time? It's just, there's nothing to it. So
yeah, when they played that in the trailer, everybody knew Captain Marvel was coming to save him. Everybody.
Yeah, and then Captain Marvel comes
really
and saves him.
I was really hoping it wasn't going to be Captain Marvel, because like you said, everyone
and
knew
can carry
it was.
A spaceship across the universe like it's nothing, and she's so great that she can land it without like disturbing a single blade of grass.
I'm not a Captain Marvel fan, so I'm all for
yeah. it. Yeah, that's another Fight Me Friday that I'm chambering for a good
well,
rip.
It's hard to find somebody who actually liked it. That's the issue. You got to find somebody to fight who actually will defend Captain Marvel.
And not push their political feminism on you at the same
time. That's
the
thing about Captain Marvel. Whenever somebody says, oh man, it was the best movie ever, like, why? And then they're like, that's it.
Strong.
Because exactly, women are good? Because exactly. I like girls?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't care. I really wished that Tony Stark was in some way capable of saving himself, or at least, like, not just on his deathbed because he couldn't continue to survive on his own. He's been the dude who's gotten out of captivity. He's been the dude who's always figured everything out. Not a fan that he just had to be rescued, but I get it. Whatever.
No, you know what? You bring up a good point.
Nick Fury paged her and she came
out of in a cave with nothing. You know, so that's a good point. You're killing me right now.
I'm not a big fan, but it progressed the story. But yeah, you chop off the head and then you go into the 5-year fast forward, which I thought was actually kind of an interesting play. I did not have a problem with him. I thought it was one of those moments in a theater where everybody's just like, oh fuck, what's going on? And then you fast forward. The problem is just the pacing then for the next 40 minutes is to me just unbearable. It's just super slow trying to get to the time
travel. And
again,
I blame Captain Marvel and the Disney agenda with that character for a lot of this suck. So to me, the pattern I've seen them doing in the last, you know, two iterations minus Far From Home is weakening the very strong men in the Marvel universe to up Captain Marvel's power level. So Infinity War, Hulk gets his ass beat and gets shipped over to Earth and then won't even come out of Banner for the rest of the movie. Hulk needed a redemption story, not surrounded by this, like, you know, technically he did because he's the one that he did a first snap. You know, Tony Stark's snap is the most famous, but Hulk also put on the glove and saved everybody. But it wasn't. That's not the redemption he needed. That's not his character. His character is the strongest there is. And at no point did he redeem himself in a physical matter. This is a very physical character. This is a very dominant character. In the comics, I don't mind the Smart Banner, the Gray Hulks, the iterations where they bring that kind of character in. So I didn't dislike it at first, but by the end of the movie, and I don't get a Rage Hulk that sees a Thanos and wants redemption and want and fucking Hulk smash, total fail, and I truly blame that on them wanting to prop up Captain Marvel as the strongest in the MCU and have that solidified. Because you can't have a strong Thor, you can't have a strong Hulk stand next to a Captain Marvel and not have an honest debate about who's the strongest. So they give Thor a beer belly and put him on Zoloft, and they make Banner the Banner Hulk and make Banner the dominant personality.
So Scott, did you like what they did with Hulk in this movie, or
I like Hulk being able to, I like Bruce Banner being able to control Hulk, but I have to agree. I personally was waiting for, you know, a true, I think Hulk should have had what Captain Marvel had as far as that end scene. Like, if anybody should have been taking that gauntlet and going toe to toe with Thanos, it should have been Hulk. You know, I know everybody's been setting up Captain Marvel and, you know, everybody wanted to, well, quote unquote, everyone wanted to see that. That would have been the perfect time for Hulk, like you said, to get his redemption. And I personally, I was waiting for that. Like, I don't think he had a fight scene.
No, and that's a part of what I don't like about this movie. I think they ruin certain characters, Hulk being one of them, in the sense that it is, I think it's cool to see Professor Hulk. But a part of Professor Hulk is still like the mastery of both sides, the intellect and the strength. And we don't get the strength. It's just
the strongest thing he did was do the snap and take it.
Now,
you know,
now to be fair, that's a big thing.
And rips off his shirt and laughs at himself for being a big dumb animal in the previous movies.
And that's the thing too, is when they went back in time to the first Avengers movie and they're like, hey, make sure you smash some stuff on the way, and he's just like, smash? Yarg?
Almost like yarg. He didn't know how to do it, right?
Like he didn't know how to be Hulk anymore. And Hulk's one of my all-time favorite characters. I've always, you know, I was raised in a very male-dominant family by a single father. There was a lot of rage in my house. I was a football player, you know, so I've always struggled with that, you know, wanting to be a more peaceful person and likable person, but also having this, like, inner rage that I just get frustrated and I, you know, I've had to patch a lot of drywall holes in my walls throughout my life.
He's a big dumb animal.
I'm a big dumb animal. So like I've always related to the Hulk, you know, very strongly, and to ruin that character, you know, especially for me, you know, I think generally everybody can kind of agree that they didn't really do that character well, but for a Hulk fan, like they just shit in my mouth.
Yeah, and yeah, I see that, and I don't have anything for the Hulk because I think they put themselves in a corner. Well, my co-host brought this up as well. After Hulk does the snap and his arm pretty much gets disintegrated, he should have been able by the time that battle comes to have that arm healed up more than well enough
to be able to go
right into battle and go get, like we've been talking about, go get his redemption story. He doesn't have to completely beat Thanos, but he needs to be shown to hold his own. You know, he's the raging monster.
He needed at least one redemption scene where he maybe not beats Thanos, but he fucks him up a little bit, throws him somewhere, and then somebody else picks it up and fights. But he needed at least one scene, because the last time you see Hulk fight, he got his ass whooped.
He got a two-piece and a biscuit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's it.
And
yeah, it's difficult. Another character, Scott, I'd like to hear your opinion first on, is what they did with Thor in the first act and then carrying it through the rest of the movie.
So the first act, I think that fit Thor's character perfectly. To me, that was the way they have been portraying Thor and kind of his emotions, which you see, I think the first act, with him just going, you know, straight for the head, like Thanos said, I think that fit perfectly. Now, I know Chris Hemsworth is a great comedic actor. You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's got good timing, but I'm not a fan of the fat Thor. And if you were gonna do it, like, why can't he just, like, you know, put himself back to being the god Thor? You know, just like he gets the armor and all that stuff. Like, why? Why would you do that throughout the whole
movie? So that's exactly my feeling. I would have been okay with the first two acts as long as when he first got the original Mjolnir back, that he lightning back into the original incarnation of Thor and kind of redeemed himself.
So,
but like, again, I truly believe they didn't want to do that because they want Captain Marvel to be the next big thing.
The only god level power, and not Thor. And I didn't ever need to see like a Rocky montage and see him get back into shape.
No.
And I didn't need any of that. Although we'll probably get that in Guardians 3. What I did need from him was, once he got on board and said that he's a part of the plan, I needed him in Act 2 to actually then have the mentality that he's back, that he could be fat and still mentally back. But the fact that, you know, Rocket Raccoon is the one who's saving the day and the voice of reason, fucking reason, when they're in Asgard, is all he wants to do is go find Dad's wine cellar, and he's still just this bumbling idiot. It ruins his entire character. He is not the god anymore. He is not.
And
the,
why is he worthy?
This unified purpose
why is
god
he worthy
anymore?
If he's back in Asgard, his mom and dad are still alive, and he's got all this like hopeful like reminders of who he is, and all he still wants to do is go drink his life away. Why the fuck is he worthy from your owner?
God, you guys are killing me, man. Because that's a great point. Like,
are we down to number five now? Is it down to number five? I'm really trying to chuck away at
well,
this.
Let me see. Winter Soldier looks like that's moved up to number one. Iron Man's at number two. You guys are putting him right above Guardian. So he's right now he's fighting with Black Panther for number five. But that's a great point, though. Like, how and why is he, you know, worthy to pull that hammer from wherever the hell it came from? Because, I mean, it came from a way. So wherever it came from, he's able to pull that and, you know, all of a sudden he's worthy. And then, like we said, why doesn't he get his god form back? Like, is that what's holding back his power? Like, that's how I took it. You know, him being, quote unquote, out of shape is why he doesn't have the power he had in Infinity War, because he went through the gauntlet. And he's got two hammers in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just a lot of bad, I think, continuity and writing in this movie. And really, they just went and got Mjolnir just so they could bring it forward so Captain America can wield it. That's the only reason.
I will say that. Now that, I'm here for all of that, and I love every second
of
that.
That was one of the best Marvel moments.
We'll
get that to that when the structure we go over here, the good, because no one's going to argue with that.
Yeah. When we talk about Act 1 and then transition Act 2, I think they ruined Hulk, ruined Thor. The pacing was terribly slow. And then Act 2, all the time travel stuff.
Time heist. Time heist.
Yeah, let's come out of Act 1 where they're setting everything up and go to Act 2. So, Scott, what is your kind of overall impression of the way they build in this quantum time travel and how they crafted these scenes during Act 2.
I do like the concept and the idea of the time travel. You know, me personally, I wasn't a big fan of the suits. That's a minor thing, but I wasn't a big fan of the suits, but yeah. I like the idea.
That's all merchandising.
Sell some fucking toys, people.
But
you want Halloween costumes and toys? We got this.
Your own Avengers time travel jacket.
Yeah, and then, like, there's nothing to differentiate any of them. Like, you would think they would at least like put a symbol on it or something. They all just have. So you could be any Avenger you want at any time wearing that suit. You could go from, yeah, I'm Black Widow today, and then tomorrow you could be Captain America wearing the same suit. You know, but that's a minor thing. But I like the idea of it. You know, I think the time heist was a good concept. I don't think the execution of it, looking back, was as great, because they didn't explain it as clear as they could have. I know they tried, the Russos tried to after the fact.
Yeah, and they tried to through like jokes, making fun of Back
right,
to the Future
right.
and stuff like that.
This wasn't the time to be making jokes in a situation like this. Like, this wasn't the time to be cracking those type of jokes.
So I love time travel stories. They're some of my favorite movies, books, TV shows. You know, one of my favorite shows that recently just got canceled was that show Travelers on Netflix. It was all about quantum time theory and stuff like that. I love those shows, but only because it takes a very high level of quality writing to pull it off well. So if it's a good time travel story, you can almost guarantee that it's going to have a really big thought process and care put into molding that story. And if it doesn't come off well, you get Endgame. You get this, we're just gonna fly by the seat of our pants and say that any kind of variation that we want to throw in there, we can just explain with time travel. Oh, it was just time travel. Oh, it was just quantum thing. Oh, that's a different reality. Oh, that's so, that, like,
I like that they went with the quantum side of things, that the past doesn't impact the future, and that kind of gets you to to where you don't have to be perfectly tight with not disrupting the past.
Well, see, that just opens a different box, because if you go with the past doesn't alter the future, now you're not dealing with linear time travel. You're dealing with alternate timelines, and there's another set of problems that come up with altering the timeline. So once you change something in the past, you can't get back to your original future.
That's a big problem. And they
constantly go to the past, alternate, do something different, create an alternate timeline, and then jump back to their original reality in the future, which isn't possible anymore once you change something in the past.
No, so that's not how the quantum theory works. So they can. They can still, because that original timeline still existed.
You're essentially jumping realities, and they explain time travel in there, but they don't explain how you could just jump fucking realities.
Yeah. But I can turn my brain off on that, and I could get behind that, because they stayed somewhat consistent to how they were working that in. So the actual mechanisms of the sci-fi part of time travel, I was okay with.
Because the minute you take Thanos out of the fucking past and bring him to the future, prior to the snap never happens, and everybody instantly appears again.
But only in that branch. Only in that branch of quantum time travel. So yes, there is now a branch that does not have a Thanos.
But what
snap.
Happens to that but branch in the that one that does have? Like now I'm wondering that too. What happens to the branch that does have the Thanos snap without Thanos in it?
Yeah,
that's where they brought him to
Utopia with overpopulation. It's just an overpopulated universe. That's all. There's a lot of weirdness with it. Like, why would Thanos even jump forward to that timeline? Why would he even care about that one timeline when he still now has foresight to know that in his timeline, he could just better defend against it, right?
Yeah, why wouldn't he just take the knowledge of that, essentially when I'm just sitting on a lawn chair, Thor's going to come to cut my head off. And do something about that, rather than say, oh, well, fuck getting these rest of these stones. I could just time jump to the future where all the stones are right there and try to steal them.
But I'm not going to lie. Him jumping forward, I thought was a great way to bring him back into Act 3 to have the epic battle scene. So I'll shut off the logic on that to some degree.
Man, I feel like we're shutting off the logic to a lot of stuff, man. You guys
and that's my big problem.
You have to.
This movie was made for mouth breathers who clap at the theater.
I was one of
that,
them.
That he's including
yeah,
you in that.
I was definitely one of them.
He's definitely including
you in that.
Can we still be friends?
I came into this battle, and obviously I'm getting the Hulk beating right now.
Good thing the Hulk's weak now, so we're just Professor Hulking you. Don't worry, we can't actually smash anything anymore.
Sign autographs for kids and be okay with it.
Yeah, hand out tacos to Ant-Man,
So to continue with I'll go over just some issues that I have with Act 2 briefly, but my problem with Act 2 primarily is that Act 2 was kind of like it was Kevin Feige, it was the Russo brothers, and it was just fanboys on a whiteboard that just said, hey guys, for this last movie, let's pay homage to 22 other movies.
Yeah, they
movies.
Had a dude in the boardroom and playing acoustic guitar.
Let's just whiteboard and what's the cool, cute scenes that we want to see? Oh, we want to see Tony Stark hug his dad. Cool, put it on the board. Hey, we want to see Peggy and Cap dance. Cool, put it on the board. And they just went through all these cute moments that they wanted to see, and then they crafted time travel to get to all those moments. They don't necessarily make sense. They're drawn out. They don't further the actual conflict. They're just fan service homage to previous movies.
That your feels will shut off your brain enough to not give a fuck.
And you know what? That's a good point because those moments like they don't make a lot of sense as far as, the flow of the story, which is a big thing we're talking about, is the flow. Yeah.
They're not the most efficient way of getting the stones. They're just cute moments
but
that they wanted to have.
They are really good. Like the moment with Tony Stark and his dad, like especially, with him dying at the end, like that ends up being a really good moment. And moments with Cap and Peggy, I think those are like I think those two characters just they emit something between them, even when they don't
isolated.
Talk.
Isolated, they are.
Yes, right.
But they don't fit the big picture. They don't fit in this story. You know, like, yeah, it makes great bookends to characters that aren't going to be in the MCU anymore. You knew it when those scenes were going on that these motherfuckers ain't going to be here anymore. Their contracts are up. They're going to find a way to get rid of these dudes. Here's their swan song of a fucking movie scene to send them off. And honestly, I didn't need it. I didn't need it.
Yeah. And that's why I don't think it's a good story. Like I said, it's a good entertaining movie, but it's a terrible story. It's lazy writing. They crafted some great scenes. The scene with Black Widow and and Hawkeye fighting is spectacular. There's great scenes.
The Soul connective Stone tissue scene was great.
Yeah. The connective tissue between these great scenes on how they justify getting there, it's just lazy writing that, like I said, they just put stuff on a whiteboard and said, "All right, these are the scenes we want. I don't care how we get there, just do it." And it's
almost like they filmed the scenes before they knew how to tie them together even. It feels like they ran all the way into production before they figured out a way to tie them all in. They were already filming these scenes and they were trying to figure out how to tie them in the boardroom while they were out there shooting the scenes of Peggy and Iron Man's dad. And, you know, like that's how lazy it felt.
I am Professor Hulk right now. I have nothing for you. Hey, I am Professor Hulk right now.
You got no
I got
fight
no
left.
Fight left. Well, right now. I mean,
let's get to the end to give Scott a fighting chance. So Act 3 is where we get most of our wins, right? So we don't have that much to say bad about Act 3 other than the fact of like, yeah, I don't think the time travel works out. You kill Thanos without the stones coming from the back, the snap never happens. We already mentioned the women empowerment scene that didn't really fit in well. It was another one of those scenes they put on the whiteboard and they knew they needed to have. Act 3 was where they did most of the winning, you know. So, you know, I really don't have much to hate on Act 3 because by the time Act 3 came, I was already mad. You know, I'm sitting in a theater like, this is some bullshit, you know, and then they give me Cap with the hammer. They give me some things that kind of like, fuck yeah.
They did a good job of like tying in even the not original Avengers, but tying in the other people and giving them their moment in the fights and their contribution to the fights. I thought it actually was pretty seamlessly put together a good fight, minus like quick jerk look over here, a bunch of women, awesome, and then go back, right? Other than that, I thought Act 3 was a phenomenally produced fight.
A good opportunity that when Cap picks up the hammer to give us this like cool blended Cap Thor suit, you know, so like a captain like a, you know, the rings on the six rings on Cap on Thor's suit, but with like they were shields or something, or like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I feel they missed an opportunity, but within that scene.
I would have probably hated it. I probably would have just thought it was cheesy. Like, I would have probably been like,
cheesy fits Captain America. He is cheesy.
Yeah, he is. He is straight Gouda.
Like, he's a cheesy character. And I did like, you know, I'd like the kind of keep away with the gauntlet between Black Panther and then Spider-Man, you know, and then even Captain Marvel picking it up. I like the fact that she could have been without the whole women, which we've all agreed. And I think she was more than strong enough, or they set her up to be, to just kind of run through literally everyone to get to the van.
Yeah, just cut through another spaceship. Who gives a shit? There's nobody in your way.
I do feel they missed an opportunity with another redemption. Star-Lord needed to be redeamed. He is the reason why the snap even happened. They had Thanos beat. If it wasn't for Star-Lord's arrogance and cockiness, they would have had the gauntlet. This Endgame would have never even been a movie. I do think they needed to do something to redeem his character, and or at least acknowledge the fact that, you fucking dummy, this is all your fault anyways.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Raccoon kind of at least be like, oh, this guy's back. Don't mess it up this time. Some type of snarky comment or something.
You know, so yes, at least address the fact that, you know, a lot of this is only happening because he couldn't put his emotions aside.
Yeah. Now, can I got to ask a question because it's popped in my head and I'm going to go off on a tangent. The snap, one, you know, the gauntlet had to be crafted by mega-sized Tyrion on a distant star, but then now, what, just a regular Iron Man suit can wield the power of the stones?
Thank you.
How is that a
thank
thing?
Thank you.
I don't understand. I don't
it
understand
takes a
this.
Fucking
like
enchanted glove made by a fucking Sears Tower-sized dwarf in a star to be able to wield the stones, but then no, some nanotech that was made on Earth can just hold it all together and
I can give Tony Stark the benefit of the doubt on that one, because then it goes back to another problem we talked about, like why couldn't he just figure out a way to get home on the ship? But he is one of the smartest people, I mean, to me, like in the universe, or at least they set him up to be, like, you know, he's able to outthink, or he should be able to outthink things. So I can say that maybe he's in the 5 years he's concocted on his own in private some type of way to figure out a way to at least hold.
But the whole idea of the gauntlet was a special mystical metal that had to be forged in
That's
by
the
heat
There's
of
some
a
magic
of a
involved.
Superstar.
There's magic involved.
The nanobots metal is still just earth metals. Like,
it's not even vibranium.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So to say that those can wield the power of the stones at the same level, man, you really just took that dwarf's life work away from him, and he's just up there thinking, oh
yeah,
man.
Why am I here?
What have I been
Why
doing this
here?
Whole time?
Well, no, Thor's probably like, wow, so I just took on that star for no reason. I could have just called Tony.
Ain't it?
All right, so look, let me tell you where I'm at now. So now it looks like let's see where we're at now.
Are we at six at least? I think we're down to six.
Oh, we're definitely down to six. Now Endgame is right above the first Avengers. It, only because I you know, we talked about it briefly, but the Captain America scene, I to me, that scene alone, that's an incredible scene, and that's
I don't think we need. I don't think me and Ken need to shit on this anymore. I think we can go to your favorite parts, and if one of your favorite parts is a flying turd, we'll let you know.
No, I mean that scene right there is great. The MCU Trinity. I think they needed I'm glad they got a scene together. You know, fighting together, and you know we talked about this earlier as well. The power scaling of Thanos and how his random sword is able to break Cap's shield, which is another whole thing. I wasn't a fan of that, but that last scene is really good. Like,
I just take the assumption that Thanos' sword is also vibranium, considering he's not from Earth. So I'm just going to chalk that up, and I'll give them a win in that.
See, I'm not even giving him a win in that, because I mean, to me that looks like just a random sword he picked up from one of his minions.
Because vibranium's from space. He's been traveling from planet to planet, killing half these planets for a decade. Somewhere along the lines, he came up with some vibranium or stronger than vibranium metal, and said, "Yeah, this is my shit now."
Yeah.
So
I would just like to know the backstory between the time. This Thanos versus future Thanos that did the snap. Let's try to stick. Why'd he give up the double-edged sword? What made him just leave that behind somewhere along the way? Because it's a pretty badass weapon.
Well, as you get more stones, you don't need it, I guess.
You know, one thing me personally, just as a comic book guy, that I was waiting for when it came down to Captain America and Thanos. Like, I knew from the beginning it was going to come down to those two at some point. They were going to have their one-on-one battle. You know, I wasn't expecting them to pick up the hammer and all that, but I knew they were going to have their one-on-one. Why didn't they just give us the iconic scene of him walking up to him and saying, you know, if there's a breath left, we still got a shot? Like, I was waiting on that line from the actual Infinity Gauntlet comic.
Did he do the I can do this all day line either?
He didn't even do that one either. Like, I was waiting on him to give one of his iconic, like, he's got three or four.
He did that when he was fighting himself.
Yeah, but not see.
Yeah, oh, yeah, earlier yeah, in
the
yeah.
movie. That was the wrong time. That was another scene. I wasn't a big fan of him fighting himself.
of him admiring his own ass.
Again, scenes on a whiteboard, just shit that they wanted to see. Loki stealing the Tesseract. They just wanted it. How do we bring back Loki? How do we make him to where he exists?
Time travel.
Just all right, cool.
Cap telling the other Cap that Winter Soldier's still alive fucks up time travel. They created like 7 alternate realities in that one scene.
And you know what? And now, you know, with this whole Disney Plus thing, I think they did that so they'll have a reason for having all these TV shows. You know, Loki's going to have his show.
They're doing that What If show. So I think that What If show is going to basically be them hopping to all these different realities that they created in Endgame.
That's not a bad concept for the show. I just wish they wouldn't have used Endgame as the launching pad for this show.
Yeah, their epic fucking finale to their 10-year fucking run. They use as a fucking promo spot for a What If plus a, you know, I'm going to stroke your hair and you know, type feels movie. Like, no, I wanted more.
Let me ask you guys this, you know, because we talked about how this is arguably the most anticipated movie ever, besides maybe Star Wars Force Awakens. Were you genuinely disappointed in this movie? I know you said it's not in your top 10, but when you left the theater, were you genuinely disappointed in what you saw?
Yup. Yo. Yeah!
Wow.
So, I
got into fights
again.
In the
I was entertained,
lot. I got
and
in the park a lot, man. Yeah.
I was entertained by it. You know, there's like I said, there are absolutely great scenes in the movie. But even sitting there, again, the connective tissue between how you get to those great scenes, I couldn't suspend belief so long enough to get to those points. And me and my wife were sitting there watching it together, and we just kept looking at each other like, eh.
So that was kind of what happened with me. I went with 3 other dudes. They couldn't get tickets with seats next to us. So me and my buddy Rami went and sat in one section, and my buddy Stu and Bert sat in another. When we walked out of the parking lot and we all came together, me and Rami, the whole movie, were both like looking at each other, rolling our eyes most of the time with a lot of these scenes that we talked about. When Bert and Stu got out of the theater, all they could talk about was the good stuff that we were just talking about, the Thor hammer with Cap, the fight scenes, some of the good stuff. They were able to, like Ken said, shut off their brain and not care about the weaving of the story. They were just there for the scenes. And me and Rami were there for the story. We wanted, you know, they set up a foundation of a house for 10 years just to build a shit shack on top of it.
And to ruin some characters that I loved. And to completely go different, you know, from the characters that they've built and the arcs that they've built. I couldn't get there. I was disappointed. I didn't walk away from it saying it was a bad movie. We talked about it on the podcast the day after that I saw it, and I didn't say it was a bad movie. I just said it wasn't
a C-minus
great movie, and it's a good movie with a bad story. But it's an A+ in production. It's an A+ in quality, right?
It's a
D. It's a barely passable story.
I
when you
say,
talk about
I
writing
say
and continuity,
that they, you know, if there was a boardroom of 10 people that wrote this story, someone was a DC sleeper.
somebody sabotaged this movie is what I'm hearing.
Somebody from DC snuck in that boardroom, was like, "Hey guys, what about if we do this?"
and you know what? That's I think what you said about with some of your friends that went with you, and I think I absolutely fall into that category just off of this conversation, is, you know, we romanticize some of the scenes that we saw, and those kind of overtake and
they overshadow.
Yeah,
yeah,
overshadow and almost make up for the lack of story. Like, I mean, everything that when I think about it, you know, like genuinely sit down, break it down and think about it. Everything that I really enjoyed from that movie was the first 20 minutes, and probably like the last hour and, like, you know, a few of those character moments in between, you know, Tony and his father.
In a 3-hour movie, that's only half the movie, bro.
No, and you're right. Like, but when I sit down and break it down, like, that's a great point. And that's why it's then moved down to number 8.
if you're the kind of person that loves, like, you know, Easter eggs and stuff of these older movies, then you got a sickening amount of them.
This movie was made for people who clap at the theater. You know, that's all it was a bunch of just, you know, I've had my opinion on people who clap at the theater for a long time, and that's
oh, Scott, do you clap?
No. I'm not an actual out loud theater clapper. Now I'm somebody who will be like, oh snap, something like that. But as far as like the one, like, yeah.
End credits. You're just the guy.
Oh no, like
clapping.
I had somebody from Far From Home doing that when J. Jonah Jameson showed up. I mean, he literally jumped up out of his seat and he's running through the aisles, going, "Oh my god, what's going on?" I'm like, dude, just
yeah, like go home.
Yeah,
bro,
like what are you
home.
Doing right now? Like, what are you doing? No, I'm not an out loud one, but I, you know, like inside, I'm definitely like, oh man, this is what a scene. You know, little things like that.
I'm not talking about like a reaction, because there's, you know, horror movies, all kinds of movies. There's scenes that sometimes make me audibly go, "Ooh shit!"
Right,
like,
right.
But still, the reactions of like when people clap for Captain America when he gets on the scene or whatever else, or just clap.
Man, half the
still
women when they had that
people.
Women scene at the end, half the women in the theater, you just heard to go, "Yes!"
Hey, that is exactly how it sounded in my theater when they did show up. Yes.
Like, shut up. Like, fuck.
Laser, we're trying to start the movement of people who boo.
Yeah,
boo, hiss. Every time a villain comes on.
If you can clap at the good scenes, I'm going to start booing anytime a villain walks into the scene, start hissing, like, boo,
so you guys want this to turn into almost like a wrestling event where we boo the bad guys and cheer the good guys when they come out.
We're going full WWE at the theater from now on.
That's great. Because I know exactly what you mean.
I'm going to bring a Cap sign and hold it up.
Good, look, next time you see him, you hold up the sign. There he is. That's my guy. That is great. That's great. So, well, let me ask you this. One more question. How do you think, which movie do you think lived up to the hype more, this or Force Awakens?
So I think it's a little different, because to me the hype was different. So as Force Awakens was coming off a decade hiatus, mm-hmm. where nobody thought any Star Wars movie ever was going to be made again ever, it came off a bookend. So this hype was more of like, holy shit, where are they? The possibilities were endless on what they could do. It was infinite possibilities on where they were going to take the story, who the new characters were going to be, this and that. Endgame had rails. So Endgame, yeah, there's a lot of possibilities that could be from, but it still had Infinity War rules to follow. So the anticipation and the hype to me is a little different. The Force Awakens hype was just like, holy fuck, we're getting another Star Wars movie. And the Endgame hype was, what's going to happen next? How are they going to fix this? How are they going to fix that? It was a lot more in like detail oriented questions rather than general questions for Force Awakens. So I think Force Awakens had the easier job of living up to hype.
Okay.
So I think I'm gonna ask, as far as your projection going forward, who do you think's the main leaders going into the Avengers or not?
Mind you, he hasn't seen Far From Home yet.
Oh, who yeah, that's right. I have not made it out to see Far From Home yet.
He was in an RV. Yeah, he was in an RV with his kids in a desert when it released.
Okay, well, I don't think this won't affect Far From Home anyway. Me personally, I'm hoping, since to me Cap was the leader, I'm hoping it's going to be Sam Wilson. Like, that's my personal hope, that it's going to be Sam Wilson who leads the team. I think he's done enough as far as Cap's, you know, number two, to kind of warrant taking over the team. He's been around the Avengers to almost probably out maybe more than anyone else who's left. arguably. So that's my personal hope, but I feel like it's going to be Captain Marvel.
All right, so I'm going to steal something from your podcast. So one must go of those who remain that are going to take the mantle and take the torch going forward. Falcon, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Thor, and the Guardians,
and Captain Marvel.
Oh, well.
No, so I'm not giving him that because he's gonna tell.
I was hoping I was gonna get her.
That makes the game too easy. I literally have it written down and I have it scratched off because I thought, oh well, there's no fun in putting her in there. So Falcon, who you think's gonna take the lead? Black Panther, Spider-Man, Thor, or Guardians.
Personally, this might be unpopular too. I'm probably getting rid of Spider-Man. I like Black Panther. I think he brings a lot to the table with Wakanda and all that. I think Sam Wilson has more than shown he's capable of being a leader and can be a leader. I like the Guardians. I think you need Thor and a godlike power on your team. And I think the Guardians each bring something different to the table where it kind of rounds out your team if you were to keep them on. So I think Spider-Man can go and just be a good neighborhood Spider-Man.
Steve?
So I think with the way they're setting up the character, the way Marvel wants it to go, I think either Spider-Man or Captain Marvel is going to carry the torch forward and put the MCU on their shoulders. It's not where I would necessarily go. I think it's, if they wanted to give like a new patriarch to the Avengers in the movies, I really think that T'Challa would be a good fit.
He would be my second pick.
A very noble character, a very, you know, smart, intelligent, battle-driven, battle-tested character, has the respect of everybody. So I think he would make a really good leader for going into the future. One's got to go, man. Like we are on polar opposites. Falcon's got to go.
Oh wow, really? Why?
Falcon's got to go. He's weak sauce. He doesn't get along with everybody on the team. He's got a feud with Ant-Man. He's got a feud with Winter Soldier. He gets taken out in every rendition of a movie he's been in. He's a good supporting character. Like I'm not saying I don't like his character. He was great in Winter Soldier. Anytime he, you know, his banter with Winter Soldier in that movie, I think was great. Kind of, you know, the new friend versus the old friend. Even his little feud with Ant-Man, I think worked well. But he's definitely not a proven leader. I'm very disappointed that they actually gave him the shield at the end of Endgame. To me, I think they should have stayed true with the comics and made Winter Soldier the next Captain America and finished off his redemption story with a nice frosting cake.
And maybe I'm basing it a little too much off the comics and Sam Wilson's run as Captain America, because that's kind of what I'm hoping that they run with, as you know, because in the comics, he proves himself to be, you know, that leader, a leader of the group, you know, that kind of comes into his own.
He is a stronger character in the comics, but the way they portray him in the movies is far from.
I did not see you picking Sam Wilson. That took a left turn.
Yeah. So when I wrote out who I was going to ask you for One Must Go, Sam Wilson wasn't even on the list of people that I considered going as being the significant people. Yeah, I know he gets the shield and they're going to play that up in their Disney Plus show and stuff. But yeah, I've never actually considered him anything but just a background role player to kind of be comedic relief and help out Cap.
So
in the stories.
Who do you have taken over?
So I think the way they're going to build it, I actually would like to see, I think what you said with Black Panther, I think that T'Challa has technically, you know, he has the leadership chops and stuff to do it. But I do think it's going to probably be Falcon. I'm just hoping that they roid him up, go give him some super serum. I don't know. He's got to find some way to become relevant.
And Winter Soldier got their own TV show coming out, so I really doubt that they're going to make him a center point of any of the movies.
Here's why I didn't pick T'Challa is because I don't think he would take on the role as the leader of the Avengers while he's still king of Wakanda. As far as the story goes,
yeah,
you know?
Maybe not.
I mean, they might want to keep with their women empowerment theme and give the his sister, what is it, Shuri? So they make her the queen so he can go off and just focus on being Black Panther.
I like Shuri, so I wouldn't be upset with that.
No, well, that's always my argument with the female empowerment movement with Disney is that, you know, they focus it on Captain Marvel, and I thought they had strong female characters already that they did really well, and they didn't need to shove a Captain Marvel down your throat. You know, I think every woman in the Black Panther movies are strong, realistic, naturally, you know, dominant characters without having to force feed you that. You know, same thing with Black Widow. She's a woman surrounded by powerful men that holds her own without having to weaken those men, without having to
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch. Like, they did so many good renditions of strong women that the need to shove a Captain Marvel down your throat wasn't there. They you guys did it well already. You know, again, they made that character for the people that like to clap at the theater, not people that like to have critical thought.
I'm with you on Captain Marvel. I think her character was I think her arc in these movies and stuff was just like you said, just to give the women someone to latch onto. When, you know, and I said this on my show, Black Panther did it without being like, you know, women are better than men and everything, you know, and that's kind of how I took Captain Marvel as, you know, I can do anything I want and nobody can stop me.
Which is what surprised me about Captain Marvel. So Black Panther was an agenda type movie.
Yes,
also.
It was.
You know what I mean? It was a black empowerment movie. It was, but to me, it was done really well. So the analogy I like to use is, you know, if, you know, the Brie Larson said, you know, well, if you're on the misogyny bullshit, then this movie wasn't for you and you're not invited. You know, to me, Black Panther was like a birthday party. You know, no, the party's not for me. The party was for the African-American community, but I was invited. I was invited to have a good time, bring a gift, take a gift
with
bag
open
home,
arms.
Have a piece of cake. Exactly. That Captain Marvel was a private party with a doorman at the door, and if you didn't have your SJW cape on, you can go the fuck home.
Hey, absolutely. I agree 100% with that with Captain Marvel. I just felt – that's how I felt the entire movie watching it. Like, why – to me, her problem with me, and this is the same I've had with her problem, or my problem with her has been with the comics, she's so overpowered. There's no place left to go.
You can't develop the character any further. Why even make another fucking movie? Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But any more Endgame points?
Before we go too far away here.
One more thing I do want to bring about Endgame. I just thought of when you said Scarlet Witch. I appreciate the fact that they let her have a moment of being incredibly powered and show how powerful she really is when she was fighting Thanos. I did appreciate that. Because she's arguably the most powerful character in Marvel, period.
Period, yeah. I mean, there's whole story arcs based around her power base.
So I did appreciate that as well. Like, she needed a moment. So even though she kind of got a little shine in Infinity War by holding him back by herself, I'm glad that she got the show, like, you know, I can pretty much do whatever I want.
Yeah, well, I think this does Let's cap off our discussion here.
So yeah, so now the official list. Give me the list revision.
Yeah, go so one down are, to end game. Let's hear
now
one down.
Twisting it around a couple times. All right, let me pull it out and see where I'm at. All right,
yeah. I want to hear the post Fight Me Friday official list.
Post Fight Me. Winter Soldier's number one. Iron Man's number two. Guardians of the Galaxy's number three. Black Panther's number four. I really enjoyed Far From Home. Far From Home is number five. You guys are killing me. Avengers is number six. Thor Ragnarok has moved up to number seven. Civil War is number eight. And then I still think that last hour is just great. Just a great battle. I still have Endgame above Infinity War because.
Above Infinity War.
Just because I think if you went into Endgame and you didn't see Infinity War, I think it adds another layer to Endgame. But
yeah, I mean, if
you ended Infinity War and just left it at the snap and never did Endgame,
yeah,
I'd be
you could
good
make
too.
That argument as well.
Infinity War to me is just one of the best ensemble movies ever made. To have four story arcs going on at the same time with 15 megastars and have it flow seamlessly into one another and have this roller coaster of, you know, emotions and plot, you know, like it, to me, it was just, it's one of the best ensemble movies ever made.
Yeah. It definitely pulls everything together, and then the way it progresses, and he gathers the stones, and gets each stone is its own little tiny arc that brings more stuff together, and it does justice to all the characters. I Infinity War is hands down better, but yeah, we'll let you hold.
Yeah, you can
listen. Let me have it at number nine. Let me leave it at number nine. You know what? This was great. I'm coming back on here to redeem myself on another movie. I'm just letting you know that now.
He's gonna go home and write his dissertation. On the MCU.
I will be biding my time. I'm coming back on it. I got to redeem myself. I need a true redemption.
Well, hey, it's been a lot of fun. We appreciate you coming on, and it's been a good time. Hey, we are fans of what you're doing over at Take a Knee. Both you and your co-host are putting together some great content and different opinions than what we have, which we like to get out in here.
Yeah, no, we like to support our fellow nerds that are doing really good things for the community out there, and you guys are showing some pretty good success, and rightfully so. You know, so congratulations on everything you've achieved so far, and keep up the good work.
But hey, give the audience a second. Go ahead and let them know what's the best way to follow you, to find you, and to communicate
with you.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I appreciate those kind words. You can find us on Twitter at @Knee4MarvelVsDC. That's the number four. You can email us any questions, comments, or if you disagree with any of my rankings, you could always email us at Knee4MarvelVsDC@GoDefyLife.com. We're on anywhere you download your podcasts. iTunes, Spreaker, Radio Public, iTunes, iHeartRadio, anywhere like that. We release every Sunday. And guys, I appreciate it. You guys do a great job as well. This whole Fight Me concept is a great concept. It really gives people, because there's some people who agree with you.
Copyright 2019, trademark TM.
No, you're right. This gives people, you know, because there's some people who agree with you, and there's going to be some that agree with me. And it gives those people a chance to hear, you know, both sides of the argument, even though it seems like I didn't hold up my end of the argument since Endgame went from number one to number nine. So
it was two.
I was going to say for our Cantina fans who still love Endgame, and you feel that Scott crumbled like the weak bat fighter that he is, go ahead and send him some hate mail and then send us your points at ken@thenerdcantina.com.
I need the army of Wakanda to come back me up on this one.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of mouth breather clappers out there for you.
But if you're a Captain Marvel fan, I do not want your help. Let me just say that. I don't want that help. I'm good on that one. But no, I appreciate you guys. This was a lot of fun, and I do appreciate the different perspective you guys brought. And this, like you said, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, we're everybody, all us nerds are real passionate about what we enjoy and what we don't. So it's fun to get those views out in a friendly kind of manner. So that's kind of why we do this. It's they're fun little arguments. So we appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely do it again.
Yeah, I got to.
All right, with us wrapped up on our endgame talk, I just want to thank our audience for listening today. Hopefully you enjoyed this Fight Me Friday episode revolving Endgame. Hey, if you disagree with anything that was said here, go ahead. Please, hey, reach out to either us or Scott over at Take a Knee. As always, we want to ask you to support what we're doing here, first and foremost, by joining the community. We've got some great conversations happening over at our Facebook page. You can find us by searching for the Nerd Cantina in Facebook, or just by going to thenerdcantina.com/community, which will redirect you directly to our Facebook page. Request access to it and join us for all the shenanigans that we do in our page. And I will ask that if you got an hour's worth of entertainment here today, which hopefully you did, that you consider visiting us over at patreon.com/thenerdcantina and become a patron of ours. Even a dollar a month donation. One, we'll get you a sticker. We'll send you out a pretty sweet sticker there. And it'll also go a long way towards us improving our quality and building out both the podcast and the site to be able to deliver you better content more regularly. With that all said, farewell, nerds. Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine. Anyways, I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code Nerd Cantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code the Nerd Cantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.